Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hope everyone's comfortable. I brought my lunch up here. So it's going to be a long morning. So, well, it's great to be here on another Pentecost. I don't remember how many we have. I think our first one was in 1968, I think. So it's been a while. Put something here. Brethren, see this pipe? Oh, can you see that? That's the same piece of pipe. You notice this side, and then this side's nice and shiny and clean. This side here is signs of corrosion, deterioration. What happened? This is the same piece of pipe. It was in the ground for the same amount of time, in the same type of soil. And one side is preserved and shiny, and the other side is corroded and pitted. What happened to this side? Well, it was unprotected. This piece of pipe was unprotected on that one half side. I cut that out of, a larger section. The elements of the earth, water, moisture, develop acid and other corrosive materials, and it attacked that pipe and began to destroy it. It had no protection. I think it's called electrolysis. Set in and begin to destroy this pipe. This side was protected. Same pipe. And it was preserved. Because this particular pipe actually happened to be in a dresser. And this side was protected pipe. And this side was unprotected. Mr. Mann could tell you a lot more than I could about it, but I see what happens when there is no protection. The elements of the earth begin to destroy that pipe, and it was aging at a faster rate than it would have been. Brethren, spiritually, we can be like the smooth pipe, or we can be like the corroded pipe during our time here on this earth. We can become smooth and shiny or become pitted and ugly spiritually. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. You know what time can do? I mean, look at this face. Yes, when my wife married me, this was a smooth face. Oh, she had nothing to do with wrinkling it. It was just time. She actually preserved it. But in Ephesians chapter 5, did anybody hear anything I said? Because I don't want to start over. Ephesians 5, home. Thank you, Mr. Imes. Appreciate that. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Well, I'm going to be emphasizing about husbands and wife. I'm looking at Christ as being the head of the church. I don't know, this thing's ringing on me. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the church is to be subject to Christ. Mr. Hopper brought this out, that, you know, we have to be subject to Christ and live a certain way. And husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, or set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. God's word, it cleanses us. It points out to us what needs to be washed away, what should not be there. It reveals that to us. In verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We should be protected as that pipe and remain, after we're washed, and to remain smooth and clean through our life, and actually continue to be clean rather than becoming pitted and destroyed. We've been cleaned, but are we going to stay clean? You know, are we going to continue to wash and to clean? Brethren, the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the will to be spiritually clean until Christ returns, or, of course, until our death. We know in Acts 2:38 it says, repent. We might read that again with a little bit different emphasis, but in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, God's word teaches us what to repent of, and the Holy Spirit is a promise to us to be able to fulfill God's requirements. Without that Holy Spirit, we're going to be exposed to the elements of this world. As that pipe, that part of that pipe was exposed for maybe several years, year after year, to the elements of the earth. The Holy Spirit will lead us from the corroding elements of this world if we submit to Christ living in us. But Christ's Spirit must be in us, or we're going to, even though we've been cleaned, and you know, if you clean a pipe and really get it nice and clean, and then leave it unprotected, it's going to corrode even faster than it would have if it would have been undisturbed. Christ must be in us. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, if you would. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 3, I'll read Galatians 4, verses 3 through 7. We see that we have been under the bondage of the elements of this world. We've been in a corroding society and a corroding type of life. 4, verse 3 and 7. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were under that a corrosive atmosphere in this world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We know that the wages of sin is death, and that we were under the penalty of that law in that way. And in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And in verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. In verse 8, but then indeed when you did not know God, You serve those things which by nature are not God. If we serve those things which were nature or not God, after we've been called and cleansed, are we to go back and serving those things, whether they be of a mind or physically, religious or just carnally? But now in verse 9, but now after you have known God, or rather been known by God, how is it that you return, that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Here to me, this is a warning that, that a Christian can begin to fall back in to that corrosive atmosphere. The elements of this world will corrode and destroy, wrinkle, and make ugly spiritually. You know, begin to pit and destroy that thing that's been cleansed and prepared by Christ and His sacrifice. In words, I think what it's saying here is hanging on to God's way, and still, though, we got one foot in the world. We're not really able to just go ahead and move on out. But we're still hanging on there, hanging on to certain aspects of this world. Certain things, actions, favorite sins, or whatever it is. We're still in that corrosive area that will destroy us through thoughts and actions and such. And, you know, in Revelation 3, verses 4 through 17, Christ said, I wish you were cold or hot. I have another piece of pipe here. I don't know if you can see that. Same piece. And, you know, it's right in the center. It's nearly destroyed. Very corroded. Actually has holes. I mean, it was leaking gas. That is right at ground level. This was above ground. This was below ground. And I could say, as far as a Christian, here's your lukewarm, one foot in the world Christian. And the farther you get away from the ground, the better condition the pipe was in. And completely buried, it has rust, but it's in pretty good condition. And you know, when people are uncalled, you know, we see the people in here, we see them on the highway, they're buried. They're preserved. God isn't calling them. You know, they've got rust. You know, they may be ugly, you could say, spiritually speaking, but they're not being totally destroyed. It's like they're being preserved until God, their time for God to call them. But once God calls, we have to pass through. If we stall out in this area between really converted and just never being called, we're in a very corrosive and dangerous area spiritually. To not really making that commitment, not really moving forward as God's Spirit reveals, hey, this needs to be cleaned up, you need to straighten up in this area, then we stay in that very dangerous area of corrosion, right at ground level, where you got water, you got elements, you got weed eaters slapping you, you know, lawn mowers bumping you. You got all these things where you're trying I'm trying to do the right thing, but, you know, I still want to, as Mr. Nunn said, I like to take a day trip back to Egypt once in a while. And, you know, that's dangerous territory spiritually speaking. In 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 in verse 18. I'll begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lasciviousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So you see, Mr. Hopper brought out this flesh, this lust is always there, trying to bring you back down to ground level, to the very dangerous area. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. When we continue to dabble with the world, continue to be friends in the sense of the world, we're on the verge of bondage. Verse 24, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. You know, if you get all this like the pipe, if you clean it all up and then you don't protect it, you know, there's no paint on it, there's nothing on it, and it's laying there where the water and corrosive acids develop, it begins to be destroyed. Just as this would destroy a Christian spiritually if they're entangled and overcome by the world again. Be better if they were just left buried, preserved for a calling, you know, later. Left there. Been better than being called and then begin to be entangled again. In verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. You know, well, yeah, I understand God's way. Hey, that's great. But there's a few things that I'm just not quite ready to give up. It's a little bit too much to ask at this time. I'm going to get around to it later, maybe. No, turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But in verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know, it's about lunchtime, but if you ever watched a dog, you know, you get an idea what God thinks about when we're turning back to this world or taking up part of this world and lapping it up, you know, just lapping up some more of this world. It'd be very disgusting for what God has done for each one of us. And if we're not going to fall back in to that bondage and to that way, we have to have Christ living in us. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If Christ is living in us, I mean, are we going to be going back to our old religion? Are we going to just kind of check it out and visit it once in a while? You know, are we going back to our old haunts once in a while? Back to the old beer joint and the honky-tonk maybe? Or, you know, whatever it was that we were called out of. You know, are we going to go back to that? If Christ is in us, is He going to just go ahead and go with us as we go back? Probably not, because Christ won't live in sin. Oh, He won't live in sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't know what time I'm supposed to sit down. So I don't even know what time I walked up here. So, okay, well, where was I? 1 Thessalonians 5. I've got my lunch, but you don't. So I'll shut up and so everybody can get their lunch. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." That would be, well, when we start dragging, wanting to be dragged back to where we've been taken from or delivered from, you know, we're quenching that Spirit. We're resisting it. As Mr. Hopper brought out, where, you know, the Spirit's leading us one way and we're kind of putting on the brakes. And that's quenching it. You know, another, looks like a pretty good reason why the Holy Spirit is not a person, or, you know, because it can be quenched. It can be like putting out a fire, like throwing water on it. When we start returning back to what we were, we're like we're just pouring fire on or water on that fire and quenching it and hope it doesn't go completely out. What are we to do then? Well, we are to stir up that Spirit. You know, if you've had a campfire, you know, and the coals burn down, you know, you can stir that up and then there'll be a flame come up. Then you can add some more material and get the fire going. And if we find ourselves slipping back into the way that we've been called out of, we better be stirring that Spirit. Be stirring that back up. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God." So apparently we need to be reminded of this, or it wouldn't have been recorded. Apparently our natural way of thinking is to kind of forget about it and start drifting back, because it's kind of hard to swim upstream. When you stop swimming, what happens? You start drifting down. It says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." That's what God's given us, power and a sound mind. Yielding yourself to let Christ live in you. That's one way to stir up the Spirit of God. Surrendering to the will of God. That keeps the spirit stirred up. Living a life of prayer. You know, God says, pray always. We start skipping it, as again Mr. Hopper brought out. You skip a day or two, what happens? Oh, maybe nothing. Say, hey, I made it through. Maybe I can go another day. And it's kind of like this water building up behind a dam. It's building and it's building. All at once it'll come crashing through. You know, when we start doing that, we think we get by with it. We get by without Bible study. That's how we stir up that spirit. We're reminded. And of course it washes us. The Bible cleanses us through the knowledge of pointing out what our problems are. And then taking the action to overcome. That's keeping it stirring up. It takes effort to overcome. And when you start making up your mind you're going to overcome a certain problem, that alone will inspire you to pray and study even more. Being obedient to the will of God. And occasionally, I mean, everybody likes to use this word before the next word. Occasionally fast. Because if you want to turn everybody off, just say, you people need to fast. So we have to say, occasionally. You know, so that makes it easy. Easier. There is no easy fasting, I don't think. Verse 13. I think I'm still there. Yeah. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Over and over it seems God reminds us that we got to hang on. We got to stir things up. We just can't float through because we're not that. We're not that pipe that's just buried. Wasn't our choice. It was God's choice. But we've got to live with it. We've got to, once that calling goes, and that choosing, then we've got to hold on. That was brought out. It's up to us then to make that decision, to hold on, to hold fast. A pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. In faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit says He will bring to remembrance what we've been taught and what we've seen. And in verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So it's through the Holy Spirit. We come here today remembering and emphasizing the Holy Spirit. And, you know, yielding ourselves to let Christ live in us. Surrendering to the will of our Maker. You know, we got to hold fast. In other words, we got to keep in touch with God. We got to keep in touch. You know, if you don't keep in touch with your friends or your family, you know, you get farther and farther away. You need to keep in touch. You know, we know that if you're without the Holy Spirit, you're simply not a Christian. Or maybe we should turn there. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. There was a time when we were in the flesh. There was a time when that's all we were. We were just in the flesh, like most of the world. Just in the flesh. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, as we've seen, we've got to repent and be baptized to receive that Spirit in repentance. And then we've got to hang on. We've got to stir up that Spirit and not quench it. And you know, the Spirit has to be renewed. And we need to be renewed on a daily basis. Maybe an hourly basis, minute basis. We need to be renewed. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. You know, when we were before God called us, we were just walking in darkness. You know, when you're dark, you can't, you're just feeling your way around. You're not really seeing good. If it's just enough vision, you can kind of see. Well, like me, I got a black suit and blue socks. Where was my wife when I needed her? I mean, you know, it's not real bright in the bedroom, I guess, or I'm just probably a little bit blind. And, you know, when we're in darkness, we don't really see clear. We don't see God's way, but we're not to remain there. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Did I read that? No. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore I urge you, imitate me, for this reason I have sent Timothy. I don't think that's right. I don't know what I'm doing. Well, anyway, the Spirit has to be renewed. Maybe it was 2 Corinthians, I don't know. It was somewhere. This is a big book. I can't be expected to. It's, yeah, 2 Corinthians, see? I mean, why do we have to have so many pages? We need them all, I'm sure. Yeah, 4:16. Yeah, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man definitely is perishing. We're on the march, you know, to the grave. And some of us are going faster than others, but that's where we're going. The outward man is perishing, but it's that inward man that we really need to be concerned about, because there is a resurrection and we want to be in that first resurrection. In verse 15, for all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Therefore, if we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If we do not lose heart, if the bombardment that is always on us, if we do not lose heart, if we to keep from losing heart, we have to renew that spirit and keep it stirred up and staying in touch with God. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It doesn't seem light. And it seems like for a long time. Is this ever going to end? You know, am I ever going to get through this trial? But looking at from in eternity, it's very only for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because what we're going through is building something far greater than anything spiritually. In verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yeah, that's what we're looking for, is the eternal things. Let's see how many more pages I got here. We'll be through within an hour and a half. I promise. Well, I won't turn to John 14 because it's basically been covered that God will send a comforter to us. And we need a comforter in this time. We need that encouragement to keep us from falling back in to that area of corrosive, destructive mindset. We need that spirit. Without it, we're not going to be able to endure. You know, we must have hope and we must have joy. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 in verse 13. Because I know in this world being called, we run into a lot of discouragements. We run into, we're just always seem like having to push. And we can become negative and we can become discouraged. And that is not what we want to do. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may abound in hope. If you lose the vision of that hope, it makes very hard, as they say, a road to hoe. Very hard. Joy, you know, joyful people, I've read that they live longer and they're healthier. Negative thinking, negative doing is destructive and it's corrosive to us spiritually and physically. Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to turn there in Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Being thankful is always very helpful. In verse 4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. We need to rejoice. You know, one of the ministers in an article or something in church publication I read, he's talking about his father that always whistled. Did you read that? His father was always whistling, and somebody said, sir, you must whistle because you're so happy. And he said, no, not whistling because I'm happy. My whistling makes me happy. You know, so that's why our frame of mind, how we approach things. No, we should be whistling to make us happy. You know, we need that power of God's Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, I would like to read that just for a moment. Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, and the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke of God, the word of God, with boldness. With boldness. We need that power. We need that power in us. In a pipe, a buried pipe, we put anodes in the ground to protect it. And the anode is consumed rather than the pipe. And without that, the pipe begins to corrode if it has any unprotected area. You know, the anode is a sacrifice for the pipe instead of the pipe. God's Spirit is there to protect us and keep us, you know, in our life. And, of course, if we're not really called, we're just buried like this world, we're just in a kind of a natural state of preservation. Some companies even it said that the rust is actually a protection on the pipe. And if the other elements could be kept away. You know, the completely buried pipe is protected. It's there, laying there, until God's time to resurrect it. You know, they're preserved. These people are preserved in the earth. Yeah, you know, they may be ugly spiritually and cranky and all that, or they may be very decent people, but they're waiting there for God's calling. But those that God called, they're called out of that ground, completely out of it. Not just get part way out where it's much more dangerous than just being buried. If you would, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So what fellowship are we to have in righteousness if we're still stepping over to the other side, whether it be false religion, whether it be still hanging on to old beliefs or sins? And what communion has light with darkness? We've got to come completely out, not sit there in that vague area of that's very destructive. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? I mean, what part can we have with people that are totally deceived and worshiping God falsely? I mean, what part can we have with that? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer we submit to the ways of this world and the evil thereof. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Don't even touch it. Don't be rubbing up against it, you know. Don't be getting, just see how close we can get. It's a dangerous area. God's Holy Spirit is our protection spiritually. I hope we don't neglect it. It is God in us. If we submit, it's giving us understanding and wisdom. And of course, it leads us into the truth. So, will you be uncorroded by this world? Will you be cleansed and stay clean and continue to clean without spot or blemish spiritually to be presented as the bride of Christ? Will you be hot or lukewarm in an environment? You know, if you're lukewarm, you're going to be in that environment of corrosion. Very destructive. Brethren, the Holy Spirit will keep us clean and unspotted as the bride of Christ.